start the recording actually today, and I'm going to start my timer. Got my little cheat sheet up here, so we should be good to go. Anyway, well, we concluded our series on the way, having gained some clarity, I think, and knowing what the law is as it relates to the new covenant. In many ways, from now on, we'll be always covering the way. But today, we're going to start a new series, and we're going to look at each one of the Ten Commandments individually, focus on them one at a time for the next 10 weeks. That is, after all, the path on the way that we're learning to walk. Because essentially, the way is learning to walk with God, to be in agreement with Him, to forsake the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and make Him Lord of our lives. So I'm going to begin today with the traditional Sabbath greeting, Shabbat Shalom, which means is to say Sabbath peace. Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace. I've titled today's message Shabbat Shalom because we're going to start our 10-week journey with number 4. We're going to take a closer look at the Sabbath today because the Sabbath is a sign of God's people, as we learned. I thought it would be a good idea to start with number 4, since we're all in the process of learning about the Sabbath, how to approach it, how to keep it. And now, having finished our foundation on God's law, it's such a blessing, really, to be able to rightly divide the word of truth when it comes to understanding God's wonderful, perfect, and eternal moral law, without having any legalistic bondage or doctrinal confusion. We can make this distinction between the law and the Torah, or all of the instructions in the Bible, which is what Torah means. We learned that. It just means instructions. So we can make that distinction between the law of God and the instructions on how to keep that law, and be able to make proper determinations as to what is applicable, you know, and all of that. So, hallelujah that we're in that place. It's just wonderful. But we need also understand that because of a lot of erroneous teaching, there are few out there that submit to the law of God. And those that do submit to the law of God, or recognize that they are the commandments, even fewer recognize that there's 10. They'd much rather think that there's just 9. Or if they do acknowledge number 4, they tend to try to move it around, reshape it into Sunday or every day, or, you know, whatever fits their society and their ideas. Well, we've proven that that's not to be the case. A while back, we looked extensively at the Sabbath. We looked at the command even before we had the clarity of the law that we have today. We were able to see from a doctrinal standpoint that the Sabbath was a created space of time, that it was set apart as holy, and it was kept from the dawn of man down through time, and it's just as much a command for us as it was for Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Yeshua, Peter, Matthew, and all the rest of humankind. Even our recent series on the way clarified our understanding of God's law. We know that it is the writing by God's very hand in the Ten Commandments, and the Sabbath is one of those commandments. So all that did was just further solidify our responsibility to observe this special time, that it was created by Yahweh, and it's every 7 days. So our topic today is not the doctrine of the Sabbath. What did it do? Go off? Okay, there it goes. It's not the doctrine of the Sabbath. We've already covered that. I think we've cemented it in pretty well. We're not going to review why we keep the Sabbath or the fact that we should keep the Sabbath. What we're going to look at today is what the Bible says about how to keep the Sabbath. And in doing so, I hope to answer a few questions. What did Yahweh have in mind when creating the Sabbath? What did he have in mind? What was his purpose? What is our part in fulfilling that purpose? In other words, how are we to walk with God on the Sabbath and achieve Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace? To start answering these questions, let's first look at what Yahweh said not to do on his Sabbath. But as we look at these, you have a few choices to make. First of all, you got to look at them and say, well, am I going to be obedient to them or am I going to just be stiff-necked? Am I going to look for loopholes or am I going to look at these with the attitude of wanting the very best that Yahweh has for me? Am I viewing the prohibitions as things I can't do or things that I don't have to do, that I don't get to do? In other words, as a release, okay? A lot of this is, the first part of this is attitude. We can see the list of prohibitions as something we resist or something that will lead us to a closer relationship with God. We can wrestle with them or we can peacefully submit to them. We can see them as things, again, that I can't do today or things that I don't have to do today, things I get a break from. To wrap your mind around the Sabbath, guys, is a twofold exercise, all right? First, number one, is that you have to accept what God says not to do, and that is to come into agreement with Him. And as you do that, you will begin to see the wisdom in it. But only as you submit to it will you come to understand those reasons and get the blessings for those provisions. Again, it's attitude. Secondly, okay, first, we accept what God says not to do. Secondly, we embrace what God says to do. That you don't live in a vacuum. You know, you don't just get rid of things. You put things in their place. The Sabbath is to be a delight. You know, the delight comes in walking out the Sabbath, not just the seeking part, but the doing part. For the second part, you know, again, it's all about attitude with which you approach it. This is one of God's laws. And that He says under the new covenant that He's going to write it on your heart. That is a process. It's a process. Okay? So we know what God's law is. So we know that's probably a pretty good place to start, right? The Ten Commandments, number 4 or 10. So let's start to see what we can get from the jots and tittles, you know, that we learned about. What's the jots and tittles from Yahweh's own hand as it relates to the Sabbath? Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, covers the fourth commandment, and it's a pretty long one. And in defense of my brothers, the Jews, it's easy to see how they came up with so many so-called laws regarding the Sabbath. Because in one way, this command is very concise about what it says. The command is clear. But how to execute that command requires one's consideration. The Jews tried to physically mandate obedience through a multitude of regulations. They tried to block it in, okay? But this command, this part of God's law, is very much spiritual in its implications. So that way of approaching it with a physical block of regulations just doesn't work. I'm going to go through some things here, but bear in mind that we must look at this law, this commandment, in context of the new covenant and the fact that we are not looking for legalistic rules, but trying to understand the intent and the purpose of what God is saying here and keep the law with that spiritual intent. This is why I've been quite silent on this subject for a while, on how to keep the Sabbath. Because, listen, I did not want to start some legalistic base of rules. Okay? And I needed to have the right time and context to put this out there. Right? I wanted to wait until I could get across the spiritual intent of the Sabbath. Because once you have that, then the physical questions and the practical application questions can be discussed in the proper context. This is why I posted those questions a moment ago. Because you can keep a list of do's and don'ts and still miss the whole spiritual intent of the Sabbath. But that's not to say that the do's and don'ts are not important. This is a command. It's not a suggestion. But the attitude and spiritual intent is the most important if you're going to get what it means to keep the Sabbath. As we see, the first part of the command reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now, first off, he said, "Remember." So he's referring to something here in the past. Remember, something he's already done. He tells us what that is when he says to keep it holy. In other words, what he's saying here is, in the past, I made this holy. You're to keep it that way. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. In the past, I made it holy. You are to keep it holy. You can't make it holy. That's why Sunday is so ridiculous. The Pope or anybody else can't make Sunday holy. Only Yahweh can make it holy. He did it in the past. He says, remember it and keep it that way. Now we know when he did that, don't we? In Genesis 2, verses 2 through 3, it says, "On the seventh day God ended the work which he'd done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." So he set us an example, didn't he? He stopped his work. He rested. Then it says he did something very telling here. He blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. Now, so I don't go over today, I want you to just take my word for it here, without going through all of the words and everything. Just put it in your mind: sanctified, blessed, hallowed. They mean set apart for holy use. Cement that in your brain. Set apart for holy use. That's what it means. So listen to me right now. If you get nothing else from today, I want you to go home with that. That is the crux of it. If you'll get that, it will do more for you in understanding the intent of the Sabbath than anything else I can give you. And it will give you pretty much everything you need to make decisions on how to look at the Sabbath day, how to keep the Sabbath day, how to honor it, how to get the most out of it. If you just will get this, that Yahweh stopped what he was doing. That is the first part of the Sabbath. Stop what you're doing. And then he said, "I sanctified it. I set it apart for my use. I made it holy." So, guys, that really is 90% of it. The rest of it is commentary. Okay? He stopped what he was doing. We are called and commanded in his law to stop what we're doing. Stop our work. to cease from it. Okay? Look at what his law says. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Okay? This is the biggest yardstick you have in determining how to keep the Sabbath. Because the time, that period of time, is sanctified. It's set apart. So, how do you process that? You say, okay, so is what I'm thinking of doing my work? Is it my will? Is it my goal? Is it something that, you know, I want to accomplish, or is it part of my work? Or have I ceased thinking about me and my environment and my needs and my everything, and have I turned and stepped into holy time? And then make my decisions based on, is this service to other people? Am I growing closer to God? Am I studying His Word? Am I, you know, see what I mean? And we'll get into a lot more of that. But guys, that's the crux of it, okay? He said that that's the crux to this command. He ceased what he was doing, and he sanctified the time. And he says to us, keep it that way. He commands us, stop your work and do mine. It's that simple. It really is. Let's read on. He tells us, 6 days you shall labor and do your work. Your work. Your labor, your physical pursuits, you're to cease from that. Okay? Again, the day is set apart for you to do His work, not yours. This is not a matter of a list of things you can't do. It's a matter of setting the time apart and thinking about all the things that you can do now that you're not burdened with all the rest of your of life. It's set apart. And he tells us that because he's trying to... Look at this next verse. He says, in it you shall... But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Whose Sabbath is it? It's His. It belongs to Him. The time belongs to Him. You shall do no work, and it's not just you. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, your stranger who is within your gates. What's he trying to say to us here? He's saying that everything that's in your control. In other words, you know, the Jews were very conscious of how they set up their environment for the Sabbath. You know, it's everybody and everything that they had control of, they subjected to the fact that this is now holy time. Okay? He wants the focus to be different. He wants just a change of direction. It's almost like repentance. You know, you get to do your thing all week, but then, you know, turn and forget that stuff for a day. Right? He wants you to stop your work, your endeavors, and focus on Him. All right? And then the other thing I want you to notice in that part is, again, I already stressed it, but it's His Sabbath. It's the Sabbath of the Lord. It's His. You know, God created us. He gave us life. He sustains our life. Without Him doing that and giving us our next breath, our next meal, our next gravity, everything, we cease to exist. Really, all the time that we have is His. He gives us 6 days to do what our, you know, what we need to do. But He says, no, the seventh one's mine. It belongs to me. Okay? So like I said, you kind of have a choice. You can start thinking about all sorts of prohibitions for the Sabbath, and we can have those conversations, which I avoided like the plague. If you guys will kind of rewind in your mind, hey, can I do this? Hey, can I do that? And I just shut my mouth because I didn't want to go there. What I wanted to tell you was this, that, you know, it's all about thinking of about things that you can do so that we can call the Sabbath a joy and just focus on Yahweh, worshiping Him, walking with Him, talking with Him, seeking out His people, visiting an orphan or a widow, fellowshipping, teach somebody that needs to know God's truth. The Sabbath is not a day of don'ts. It's a day of doing God's will because it's set apart for His use. So we need to use it. That's what Yeshua did, as we'll see in a moment. So you'll see here in Exodus 20, He gives us the commandment. He gives us the law. He gives us the doctrine. But we can also look at the rest of the Bible, right? Now what we talked about, that we have the law, and then we have the Torah, the instructions in the Bible for how to look at that law. Well, the prophet Isaiah gives us some insight on this one. In chapter 58, verse 13, it says, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, or finding your own pleasure, or speaking your own words, then you'll delight yourself in the Lord, and I'll cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father." The mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is simple expounding upon the same thing that we just saw in this command. To stop doing our own work or pleasure, and focus on Him and His work on His day. And we see the blessings that come with it. Okay? Now I want you to think about the example of Yeshua. The Pharisees were constantly on His case about the Sabbath. You know, He picked grain on the Sabbath. We talked about that, you know, a while back. Was He doing work? No. He was just eating. He's walking through a field on His way to probably the synagogue. And He's hungry. He plucked some grain and ate it. Was He working? No, He was just eating. But that was against their law. He didn't break the Sabbath. It's idiotic. The Pharisees ate on the Sabbath. He didn't pick the grain to store it up, you know. He didn't go to a lot of work to cook and prepare it. He was just walking through the field. All right. Yahweh fed him and he moved on. So a list of prohibitions, a list of don'ts, isn't it? It isn't keeping the Sabbath, as He clearly showed us. Yeshua that day was about His Father's business. And that's keeping the Sabbath in the highest regard. Check out this story. All the Gospels have an account of this, but we'll look at Luke's, okay? In Luke 6, it says, "Now it happened on another Sabbath also, that He entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched Him closely, whether He would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against Him." They were always doing that. "But He knew their thoughts, and He said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Arise and stand here.' And he arose and stood. Then Yeshua said to them, 'I'll ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy?'" See, He had one of those same questions that people have been asking me. Hey, can I do this? Can I do that? Crystalline was so funny this morning. She brought a box of pancake mix, and she said, "Can I make pancakes?" I was like, "Well, you have to go ask your mom. I don't know if she's got plans for that mix or some other..." "No, no, 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 no. Can I?" You know? And honey, sure, go make your pancakes. So the same thing's happening here. He's like, is it lawful for me to heal on the Sabbath? Verse 10. And when he looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. They started right there plotting to kill him. Why? Because he healed a man on Sabbath. So we see Yeshua once again breaking the law, the Torah, of the laws of Judaism, but holding to the law of God and keeping the Sabbath. Was not Yeshua, by healing a man with a crippled hand, doing the work of Yahweh? Isn't that what he was doing? And isn't that what we're commanded to do? Stop doing our work and do the work of Yahweh. And that's exactly what he was doing. That's what the law says. Let's read it again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay? Remember what we said. What does that mean? It means it's set apart for holy use. It's sanctified. 6 days you shall labor and do your work. That is the other part of this command. We are to work. The Bible says in another place, the man that doesn't work doesn't eat. We're to be productive. God wants us to be productive. And he's not telling us not to work, not to have our endeavors, not to have our creativity, not to have our careers and our interests and everything that makes us who we are. He's saying, do that. He's commanding you to do that. But that's your work. 6 days and do your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. It's His. It's His time. And in it you shall do no work. You shall not do your work on that day. And not just you, but your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, your strangers within your gates. Everybody that's within your control and all that is within your control. Now, if it's outside of your control, well, you got no control over that. We see clearly what the law says. Then we got insight from Isaiah. Remember? That was our instruction in righteousness and reproof. We got confirmation. We saw the examples set by Yeshua. And you take all of that together and bring that together, and it should make clear, make alive what the reason and the intention and the value is as we look at and honor and keep this commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy. So again, if you get nothing else today, get that the Sabbath time isn't yours. It's Yahweh's. And it's set aside for His use. It's hallowed, sanctified, holy time. It's a time to do His will, not your own. And so see, if you're focused on that, then all of the physical do's and the physical don'ts, they don't matter, you know, because it's just going to be automatic, right? It's not a day to just stop everything that you're doing and just sit around and be bored. That's not what it's about. It's about a day to focus on the most important things of life. But you see, God knew that you would not do that if you didn't stop what you were doing. So there is just so much wisdom, see, in the few prohibitions that He gave you. He didn't give us very many. He just said, stop what you're doing. This is my time. And that's really all he said. You're going to get rest. But see, you won't do the other unless you stop. And he knew that. Yeshua tried to explain this concept of this twofold part of this command to the Pharisees. I didn't finish this, but anyway, he went on to say who he is again and said that he hallowed it, set it apart for his use. I got a little bit ahead of myself. But anyway, the twofold part of this thing, Yeshua tried to explain. In Matthew 23, he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, faith. These you ought to have done without having left the others undone." So yeah, the fourth commandment is clear that you stop the work. It's commanded. This you ought to do. Keep the law. But don't miss the purpose. Don't miss that it's been sanctified and set apart for holy use. Because, as it says, these you ought to have done. The physical part. Looking at the jots and tittles and the nits and the mint and the anise and cumin. You know, they made all of these rules about how you stop from your work. How you don't kindle a fire. And how you don't, you know, walk more than this many steps. And all of this stuff. And he's saying, you know, okay, keep the physical part. That you ought to have done. But you hypocrites, you're missing the point. You can do all of that in respect to the Sabbath and stop. And keep all the physical jots and tittles of the Torah and miss the whole point that it's sanctified. That it's a joy and a delight and a time to release yourself from all of those physical burdens and worries and everything that you're doing and have a day every week to get refreshed and focus on your Creator. And commune with Him, and have time with Him, and do His work. Because as this says, this you ought to do, ceasing from your work, without leaving the other undone. Using the day for His holy purpose. That makes sense. That makes sense. With that perspective in mind, now I think we can begin to talk about some applications and see them as ways to get to the end goal rather than applications and thinking about them as being sort of legalistic and this is what I have to do and this is what I don't get, you know, what I can't do and all of that. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, this is the end goal. This is what the Sabbath is all about. This is what I want it to be. This is the delight that I want it to be. This is how I want to serve God on the Sabbath. And here's some ideas, and here's some structure on how to get there, right? The laws and rules are required to teach us and move us in the right direction. And we appreciate them when we can understand their intention and what they're for, okay? We want to get to the place where God is the center of the Sabbath. Our minds, our actions, and our work on that day is focused on Him. And that we use the day to glorify Him, to draw close to Him, to serve His people, to proclaim His gospel, all of that. But the prohibitions are there to clear the path out, to clear the way, to get everything else out of the way, so that we can get to the end goal. You know, I thought about it this way. What's your odds, if you went out right now and got in your car, of getting to Manhattan on the highway and the road system if there were no rules? if it was just a free-for-all out there. Nobody, just take a guess on intersections. I don't know, if I decide to drive on the right side of the road today and he decided to drive on the left, and how are you going to get there without being in a few accidents or maybe even killing yourself or somebody else? You see, the rules have to be there in order to guide you to the goal. But now, is the goal the rules? No, they're not. That's why I didn't want to focus on the rules without saying, hey, this is what we're striving for. This is what we want. Now, this is going to help us get, and these things are going to help us get there. See? Big difference. Our goal is to achieve Shabbat Shalom. Communion one day a week with our Maker and focusing on His will and not ours. So with that said, now with that foundation in there, we can start to maybe structure some things to reach that goal. And the Bible has some things to say about that. Okay? The three basic commands are given in the law. We're not to work, we're not to rest, and we're to keep it holy. Now, I could probably give a message individually on each one of those. But I'm going to spare you. All right? But just suffice it that, we'll just boil each one down today. Okay? First one, we're not to work. 6 days, we are to do our work. The Sabbath is a time to do Yahweh's work. Now, when we hear work in our society, we think about our jobs. And certainly the command applies to that. But that's not where it starts. That's not where it stops. It doesn't start and stop there. It's talking about all our work, all our endeavors, our pursuits, our stuff, okay? He's commanding us to stop all of that and focus on Him. Again, it's a change of focus from chasing our desires, whether it be work, recreation, whatever, and refocus that over to the desires of Yahweh. Again, it's His time. Okay. Look what Jeremiah says. Thus says the Lord. Well, you always got to stop and think about it when you read that, right? This isn't just commentary. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work but hallow the Sabbath day. Again, hallow, set apart as I have commanded your fathers. Okay, that's simple. Work, we're supposed to stop doing it. This leads us to the second one. We're to rest. Now, Yahweh knew we needed this, and what a blessing. We have to be commanded to rest. Now, rest, I really, and I'm 38 minutes into this, so I'm glad I didn't do it, but I was going to take a little side journey on this whole idea of rest. And we think of rest as, hey, I'm gonna take a nap. And that's okay. You probably should get a little nap in on the Sabbath. Nothing wrong with that. But he's talking about real rest. Rest from sin. Rest from burden. When we step into the Sabbath, and just leave that all behind, there's just a feeling of rest. You can just release it. And there's a lot more I'd like to say about that, but we just don't have time. Okay, we need to release from our burdens. The Sabbath is a day of rejuvenation. The rest gives us that. What a terrible thing, huh? We need to decompress, to unwind, to get our mind off the everyday stresses of the world, to spend time with our families, our friends, and our brethren, and make the Sabbath a delight. All this rest means that it's also a day to recharge your spiritual batteries. You know, surely I'm not the only one here that's ever felt like, you know, I'm just kind of burdened down and, you know, feeling weak spiritually. I'm not feeling as connected as I'd like to feel, you know. I've been rushed all week in my prayer time and, you know, I'm not the only one like that, okay? He knows that we need that time to recharge, to rejuvenate, and refocus our mind back on Him. Because if we don't, if we spend 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, and just never quit, what do we get? Selfish. We get mixed up in our own stuff, in our own life, in our own everything, and we never stop to take stock of the weightier things. We'll just roll along and just get selfish. Tunnel vision starts to come in. You know, Yahweh knew that we needed the Sabbath. He made it for us, right? Mark chapter 2, verse 27, he said, Yeshua said to them, the Sabbath was made for man. He made the Sabbath for us. He knew we needed it. He gave us a command to rest. It's just, I don't know, I think that's kind of funny. If you just have time to stop and think and ponder, your direction is really needed. Chances are, most of it was chasing your tail, or you were getting caught up in sin or anything else, you know. So you do need to stop, rest, rejuvenate, talk to me, he says. Decompress. We absolutely need this time of refreshing on a weekly basis. And thankfully, it's not a suggestion. You're commanded to do it. To rest. All right. We're to keep it holy. Now, I've already hit this one pretty hard. And remember, that's the one thing I want you to take away from this, if you get nothing else. These things. The time is not yours. Therefore, the day belongs to Yahweh. It's His. It is sanctified. It is set apart for holy use. If you keep this in mind and submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, knowing how to keep the Sabbath will become clear. Did you catch that? If you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, understanding this, then how to keep the Sabbath will become clear. It won't be a burden of don'ts, but a joy to have the time to do the things that draw you close to God and His people. Okay. That's the three things the command says. The law says, you don't work, you rest, and you keep it holy. So now, without getting legalistic and keeping the goal of the Sabbath in mind, as we've learned here, we can continue to look at some general guidelines. You know, which side of the road to drive on. You know, if you're stopped at a four-way, the person on the right has the, you know, right of way. You know, some guidelines that we can use to get to the goal. I'm not advocating starting to write our own set of do's and don'ts and laws. This is merely a way to show you how to apply the principles that we've learned to maintain the sanctity of the day as the Lord created it. While many elements of how I keep the day holy will be the same as yours, others won't be. Even from week to week, my Sabbaths are not the same, with the same exact activities. The litmus test, however, is this. Always be examining whether or not you're ceasing doing your own will, or whether or not you've refocused yourself on doing His will. And are you refreshed at the end of the day? Are you closer to Yahweh at the end of the day? Are you spiritually recharged at the end of the day to go into the next week strong, spiritually, able to do the things that you need to do in a godly way and walking out your faith? That's the purpose of the Sabbath. Okay? With that, here's some general ideas. Okay? And I'm just going to kind of run through these. The Sabbath is a day to cease your creating. That's what he did. He created for 6 days and then he ceased it. All right. The Sabbath is a day to remember that Yahweh did create the world and you. And spend some time thinking about that. Thank him for it. Recognize him as creator and all that means. What's that mean? What does that mean to you when you think about Yahweh being your creator? That has just mind-blowing significance if you'll take the time to sit maybe and meditate on it on the Sabbath. Go look at his creation and think, you know what? If it's not wasn't for him, I wouldn't be breathing. I wouldn't be interacting. I wouldn't have thought. I couldn't, you know, I don't know, it was several years ago. I was blown away on the Sabbath looking at my hand. It's just, I know that sounds stupid, but, you know, that thing is amazing. I don't have to, I can, I don't know. I'm not going to go there. But, you know, it just, that's what I'm saying, is when you really stop and think about who God is as creator, and you look around, it's astounding what he has done. And just to take some time to remember who he is, remember the Sabbath day. And the remembering takes us what? Back to creation, where he made it, where he declares who he is and shows who he is and shows his might and his power. All right, we'll move on. The Sabbath is time for holy convocation. So in modern terms, that means go to church. Now while you're there, it's a time of rejoicing and singing before the Lord. And I've put some scriptures up here. We're not going to turn to all of them because we don't have time. So, holy convocation. What's that mean? That's what we're doing right now. We're getting together, setting that time aside, and studying God's Word. Okay. The Sabbath is a time to be reverent and show Yahweh that we love, honor, and respect His authority. In Psalms 89, verse 7, it says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. You know, in our hectic 6 days of our work, how much do we stop and think about being reverent before God, to humbling ourselves before God? But you know, when we're commanded to stop and come into some holy time, we have time to do that. It's an opportunity. The Sabbath is a day of rejoicing in our faith, for setting aside our thoughts and our words for Yahweh's thoughts and words. Again, Isaiah 58, we already read it. That's the one that says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day and make it a delight, then this is what I'll do. The Sabbath is a time of healing. Yeshua healed on the Sabbath. You know, we get beat up all week out in this world. The Sabbath is a time of restoration. Not just for us, but those around us. You know, like Yeshua, go out and be a healer on the Sabbath. Be a healer. The Sabbath is not the time for shopping, buying, selling, doing commerce, doing all that kind of stuff that you normally do all week. It's just not. Nehemiah 13, if you want to go there and study that, there's a whole story there about how God just loathed what was going on. And with all the commerce that was happening on his Sabbath day. Conducting business is just part of doing your own work. It's not ceasing from that which you normally do. Now, invariably, it's going to come out, well, what about going out to eat? You know, each person needs to reconcile. You know, it's really taught both ways, whether to go out to eat or not. You know, if you want my thoughts, you want my thoughts on that? Yeah?
I think it's pretty clear that it's okay.
Well, you know, to me, the person that's serving me in a restaurant is not my maidservant or my manservant or a stranger within my gates. I don't have control over that person. That person is the maidservant or manservant of the employer, of the owner or owner of the restaurant. And that person's going to be there whether I'm there or not. Okay? Now, I'll say this. I think that somebody can go out to eat on the Sabbath and have that conversation and that conduct and that fellowship be perfectly within the spirit and design of the Sabbath day. And I think a person can go out to eat and make a party out of it and have discussions and things that, you know, and not be keeping the Sabbath. You know? I mean, you can sit on your couch and be doing nothing and, you know, who knows if you're, where's the Sabbath kept, you know? I mean, anyway. So I think you can blow it and go out to eat, or you can keep the day holy and go out to eat. I mean, you do have to eat, right? Yeshua ate. However, though, the Sabbath is not time for cooking. The Sabbath should be planned, and it should be prepared for in advance so that there's no heavy cooking or baking or anything done in order to eat. Okay? You and I talked about that this morning. You know, if you're going to make pancakes, do the mix up ahead of time. Do as much as you can ahead of time. You know, you can't add the milk ahead of time, and you can't cook pancakes ahead of time. You know, see, it's just attitude, okay? It's just preparation. All right, you should honor the Sabbath enough to be prepared for it, to have a plan for it. We'll get to that in a little bit. Okay. The Sabbath is a time to visit and comfort the sick. Visit the widows, the shut-ins. It's time to do some spiritual work. Okay? It's His time. You've stopped your work. You can do His work too. The Sabbath is a time of prayer. Acts 16, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. On the Sabbath, prayer was customarily made. A little side trip here. It's funny that they said they went out of the city on the Sabbath. Remember one of those Torah laws? On the Sabbath, you're not to walk out of the city. Well, there they go, breaking that Torah again. Oh, well. All right. Next one. This is the last one. The Sabbath is a time to discuss spiritual principles and our faith and to teach the Word of God. There's lots of examples of that, especially in Acts. Now, I want you to notice most of the points I made here were not about what you can't do on the Sabbath. They were all things that you can do on the Sabbath. Because I'm not trying to paint a picture of don'ts. I'm trying to show you what the Sabbath is about. What to do on the Sabbath. Because if you're keeping it holy and set apart for His use, again, all the physical restrictions are going to take care of themselves. I'm trying to help you get to the joy of the Sabbath and not fixating on the presumed restrictions of the Sabbath. Because really, the Sabbath is a release of burdens. It's not a burden. Okay? The Pharisees made it a burden with all their laws. But Yahweh and Yeshua called it a delight. And when we get it, it'll be a delight for us too. All right? It'll be something we look forward to all week. Because it's not just a day of rest. It's a day of communing with God. But because we are to use it for holy use, then we need to plan for it. You plan your other days, don't you? You pretty much decide on how you're going to use your days. We need to take the time ahead of time to think about the Sabbath, to think about those things that we want to do, to pray about what those things are that God's putting on your heart that He wants you to do, but that you just don't seem to ever get done because you're doing your work. Let Him talk to you about how He wants you to use His Sabbath. You know, there's certainly some certain elements that really should be in there, but there's also, you know, other time that, you know, let Him speak to you. Let Him write this on your heart. He promised us in Jeremiah and the New Covenant that He would take His law, and now we know what that law is. He's going to take that law, those jots and tittles, and write them on your heart. Let Him write it on your heart. You know, you need to plan some rest. You need to plan some extra time for prayer. You need to plan some extra time for study, some quiet time. If you're married, you need to plan with your spouse. Maybe you take the kids for this period of time, and I'll take the kids for this period of time. So that the spouse can have some time to go be alone with God. To have some quiet time. Right? Did it bail on me?
No.
Okay. You see what I'm saying? You know, plan your day. You know, plan it to include a holy convocation. And plan so that you can be refreshed and ready for it. And having already prayed, I'm hoping you guys are praying for me on the Sabbath before you get here, that, you know, stupid stuff doesn't come out of my mouth. I pray that the stupid stuff that comes out of my mouth gets changed before it hits your ears. And I've got faith that it does that. That's the only way I can stand up here and be comfortable about it. But that's what I'm saying. Plan. Pray about it and think about how through the week, you know, looking forward to what's God have for me on His time, on His Sabbath day. Okay. But one thing I want you to remember. You plan the Sabbath day on your knees. Plan the Sabbath on your knees, because it's not your time, it's His time. So to wind this up, and I'm at 58 minutes, probably can't, but I'm going to try. Wind this up, I'm going to give you a Sabbath example. Now, it's just that, it's one. It's one Sabbath singular example. But within this, I hope that you kind of can catch the vision of how you can plan and prepare for a Sabbath. This is not law. This is just one example of how I like to kind of approach it. First off, the Sabbath kind of starts on Friday. It's a preparation day. Guys, the Sabbath requires planning. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. The Bible talks about Friday being the preparation day for a reason, because they pre-planned so that all of their burdens and all of their duties that they had, you know, they could put aside. They could cease doing. They need to be done ahead of time. Anything, you know, if you're going to sit in a house and you're the type that if you sit down and you see something that's out of place, you just got to put it away, then you're the type of person that needs to put it away before the Sabbath goes. Otherwise, you're not going to have any peace. Right? Okay? Your meals need to be planned so that you've done as much as you can do ahead of time. It's a principle. Okay? You don't want to go crash landing into the Sabbath and just have to, you know, just take it as it comes. Okay, put your work away. You know, get your environment set up so that you can go into the Sabbath in peace. And this is different for everybody. Okay? Prepare ahead of time the best that you can. All right. So now, you're all prepared. Let's go into the Sabbath. And this is kind of what it might look like. Friday night, you know what? I like to have my family around me. I like to just decompress with my family. Maybe hear about their week and, you know, just Friday night. The week's over. Here's my kids. You know? How'd you do? I don't know. Last night we ended up talking about boogers. I don't know how, but we did. But, you know, we had a nice time of fellowship just standing around that crazy piece of granite and talking about people catching you picking your nose when you're at a stoplight. I like to have family time on Friday evening. Now, you know, I also like to try to guide those conversations into, you know, some biblical application. How did your week go? And try to take the things that they struggled with and give them some help and application. You know, but it's family time. All right. Sabbath morning. You know what? That's probably the one time you don't have to set an alarm. We're told to rest. Well, get a little bit extra sleep. It's all right. Brody sometimes he misses the whole morning. Right? But here's the key. Here's the key here. Is it Sabbath morning? Every other morning of the week, you've got to get out of the house at a certain time. You got to get someplace, right? Sabbath morning, you don't. Man, that's the time for when you get on your knees, you don't have any time that you have to get up. You know, when you open your Bible, you're not stressed to say, well, yeah, I can study for half an hour. You know, it's just a time to relax and to have extra time with Yahweh. That's my Sabbath morning. You know, and it's nice. It's great. Okay, now we're going to have a holy convocation at some time during the day. Be prepared for that, as I said. Then, after that, I mean, I like to have church, you know, at 11 o'clock or 1 o'clock or something. You know, have the nice morning and then have church. And then after church, you've got time for some fellowship with the brethren. You know, and kind of do the same thing that you did with your family on Friday night, kind of do with the brethren. Say, hey, how are you doing? You know, and invest in their life a little bit. Figure out what's going on with them, how you can pray for them, how you can, you know, come along and support them in their walk with God. You know, which leads us to, hey, it's a good time that afternoon to teach or be taught. There's different cycles of life, you know. For a while, you're taught. But at some point in time, you know, you end up, roles get reversed. And you can take what God has given you through somebody else that has invested in your life. You can do the same thing. Take some afternoon time after church maybe and go visit a widow or a shut-in or, you know, whatever. Whatever, again, God has put on your heart doing His work that day. Go do it. Minister to somebody that's in need. Seek Yahweh's will in the upcoming week. Before the Sabbath ends, it's nice to maybe spend a little time and maybe not get involved in planning your week, but putting in context now that you've spent a decompressing day with God of thinking about, okay, now what changes do I need to make going into this next week? How can I handle things differently? And of course, extra time in prayer. Now, lots of extra time. Pray. Guys, the Sabbath is part of God's eternal law. It's one of His Ten Commandments, and it's not a suggestion. We're commanded to keep it. But let's not just keep it. Let's understand what Yahweh has for us in His Sabbath. And as a result, let's enjoy the Sabbath and call it a delight. I believe that God's law is given in the Ten Commandments is an eternal law. I don't think it'll ever go away. Why, throughout eternity, would we want to stop having a day to commune with our Creator? I think it's something that is a principle and something that we'll carry into eternity. That's my thoughts. And, you know, I don't know. I think maybe Isaiah agreed with me. I don't know. It depends on how you read this scripture. But it says in Isaiah 66, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me." The new heavens and the new earth will remain before Him. There to be His dominion forever. The throne of the earth, or the throne of the universe, is to be at the new heavens and the new earth forever. He says, "So shall your descendants and your name remain, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come to worship before me," says the Lord. You know, it isn't going to matter how much time goes by. We're always, forever, going to be indebted to our Creator for creating us. And it's going to be our privilege to worship Him for eternity. He's an awesome God. I don't think this Sabbath will ever end. He told us that the law He wrote with jots and tittles on tablets of stone would be rewritten in our hearts. I don't see Him erasing something out of our heart once He does that. So I want to close today by reading a passage from an article. The article reveals an unknown author to be a longtime Sabbatarian, and he penned these words, and I'll go through it real quick and then we'll close. "Keeping the Sabbath of our Lord shows that we are willing to forsake our own thoughts and ways during the time our God set aside for us 6,000 years ago. It shows our Lord that we have a willingness to learn of Him, study His Word, as well as to think and meditate on Him and all He has created for us. Keeping Sabbath also shows our Father we have a heartfelt desire to obey Him. He sanctified this holy day long ago as a way to gently test our faith in Him as well as glorify Him and declare Him our Creator God. Some look at the Sabbath as our proverbial tree in the garden. Will we obey Him or not? The Sabbath was made for man to give him rest from physical labor and to worship the very God that not only made him but all he knows in life. On our Lord's holy Sabbath, we can forget all about the day-by-day activities throughout the week that have become rather routine to us over the many years and use this day to draw closer to our God in study of His Word, in meditation on all He reveals to us about Him, in prayer to Him, in service to the brethren, and to the work of our Lord." Unquote. I thought it amazing that he also came to see the Sabbath was not about a list of don'ts, but instead he focused on his message on what to do in order to keep the day holy. So, in closing, I'll say this. Although it's our duty, guys, to keep the Sabbath, it shouldn't be a burden. In an age of false gods, spirituality, of atheistic evolution, and the stubborn traditions of men, the world and us needs the Sabbath more than ever before. It's a test of our loyalty to our Creator and the sign that leads us on the way. But it's also evidence of the sanctifying power of our great God. It's His promise of a lasting, eternal gift of restoration. Shabbat Shalom. All right. Okay, well, next week we're going to cover commandment number 1, which is, you shall have no other gods before me. Or is it?
Or is what?
You won't want to miss it.